Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This regular meeting of the Village Council of Forest Park will come to order. This is our regular council meeting for June 14th, 2021. We begin our meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
I hate doing that. I'm mute. I'm on Zoom.
Okay, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Commissioner Novak.
Here.
Commissioner Burns.
Here.
Commissioner Nero.
Here.
Commissioner Vogt.
Here.
Mayor Hoskins.
Here. Commissioners, first is approval of the minutes from the May 24th, 2021 regular meeting of the council. Is there a motion to approve?
Nero will make that motion.
Thank you. It's been moved by Commissioner Nero. Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been seconded by Commissioner Novak. Discussion? There's no discussion, Madam Clerk.
Commissioner Novak?
Aye.
Commissioner Burns?
Aye.
Commissioner Nero?
Aye.
Commissioner Vogt?
Aye.
Mayor Hoskins?
Aye. Okay, public comment. I believe we have several public comments for this evening.
We do. I have three that were emailed, and then I've got a stack here of people that are here. The first one is from Chris Fleming. According to the email, it was supposed to be read at the last meeting. I don't know why I didn't get it, but good evening. My name is Chris Fleming, and I own Slancha Irish Pub and have been a loyal business owner in Forest Park for 20 years. In that time, I've made significant investments in my business and property, not only monetary, but physical and emotional as well. At Slancha, we have always done our best to obey the law and work with law enforcement whenever we could. I don't have all the answers to the problems facing Forest Park. Ironically, it seems neither does anyone else. That being said, a week ago, many Forest Park business owners met with law enforcement to brainstorm solutions. Another irony is that our elected officials who claim we didn't make an effort to meet
on
with them
mute.
To try. Okay, I need someone to control this meeting. Someone keeps. I need to mute everybody. Sorry. Another irony is that our elected officials who claim we didn't make an effort to meet with them to try and figure a way forward didn't find it important enough to make the effort to be there to brainstorm with us when we did make that effort. Is it only our reasonably to solve these problems? After all, I didn't come to Forest Park to be an elected official. I came to run a business and have successfully done so for 20 years. Truthfully, when it comes to the problem solving of these issues, we haven't been given the opportunity to successfully collaborate with the powers that be. Without considering the impact, the only actions taken and decisions made have been to restrict the bars. This does not address the problem. This just creates another one. I have no desire to lay blame at anyone's feet unless it is warranted. I also don't feel it's acceptable that the blame is being shouldered by so many businesses and their employees. Tonight you will hear from many people about the extreme financial impact recent decisions have had on their lives. You will also hear from some who really don't care who it affected as long as they get what they want, and they will give you reasons why that's okay. I fear a lifelong investment is at risk and would hope everyone will take the time to walk a mile in each other's shoes before deciding to destroy what another person has built just because it's the easy decision. I consider many of you friends, peers, or at the least acquaintances, and if not, we haven't had the pleasure of meeting. I am handicapped and struggle to make these meetings, so please forgive my absence. One of my employees will be present also to speak. I implore you, please don't just hear him, but listen to what he has to say. Imagine being him or him being your son, spouse, or provider. I appeal to everyone's sense of community and ask we all come together to make Forest Park the place I was proud to start a business in, not the town that took my life's work away from me and discarded it. Please know the only place for me without my business is being disabled. That was from Chris Fleming. The next is from Brooke and Aaron Severs. We've been neighbors with Pioneer Tap for 8 years. In previous years, waking up at bar closing happened maybe once or twice a month. This past spring, we've had to call the police multiple times the same weekend because the noise outside has been so extreme. Although the police have always been quick to respond, it's stressful going to bed knowing that in 3 hours you'll be calling the police. We have $1,000 worth of new windows on order in hopes to mitigate the noise. Since the bars had their hours restricted, we've been able to sleep through the night. It has improved our quality of life. The amount of litter we're picking up from the parkway has decreased by at least 75%. Previous to the 11 p.m. closing, there would be at least a bag's worth of trash on the block every single weekend. There is clear correlation to noise and litter and bar closing time. If the bars want to stay open later, they need to participate with residents in picking up litter and noise mitigation efforts. We know this is a complicated issue to resolve, and thank you for taking the time to hear our perspective. Brooke and Aaron Severs. This is Christopher Harris. I just wanted to send a quick congratulations to John Doss on his retirement and a thank you for his years of service. Overseeing public works can be a thankless job with managing a large group of personalities, residents always wanting more, and dealing with a different group of demanding elected officials every 4 years. John handled it with dignity and ease. It was a pleasure to work with him. Public Works was lucky to have him, and Forest Park was better off having him steering the ship. Best of luck on your future ventures, John. From Chris Harris. Mark Denny. Sure. Thank you. Colin Jackson.
Speaking, but I'm gonna do it. My name is Colin Jackson. I manage two bars in Forest Park. I just wanted to read something. Not only do I work on Madison, I live on Madison as a resident of Forest Park. So not only do I get to see the issues from the bar's perspective, I see them from a resident's perspective as well. I have many friends that work in Forest Park as bartenders, and I also directly oversee 12 employees of my own. 8 of those 12 don't have any income outside of what we do. Since this 11 o'clock shutdown has been put in place, the conversations between my friends, employees, and myself has drastically changed. The main conversations being had at every bar I go to or in is the question, why? Why are bars being punished for situations? Why are bars being punished for situations and occurrences that aren't happening inside of the actual businesses? Someone is in their car drinking. Is that a result of something that the bar did wrong? Someone is walking down the street with a red Solo cup of liquor. Last time I checked, red Solo cups. So if that didn't come from the bar, should the bar be punished? Also, the scare tactic that is used frequently
in these meetings. See them is still in the room, guys.
Huh? Just keep going.
Okay.
You got to speak up a little bit.
The scare tactic is used so frequently in these meetings of guns recovered, which from what I've read in here is always in a stopped vehicle.
I don't know.
How many of those guns were recovered in a bar?
Meaning is comment first. Shouldn't be going to session without first order. That's just Robert's rules.
Okay.
I don't know. I just ended the Zoom.
Go ahead, please.
Sorry about
okay.
that.
My question to you is, how far away from a business does a person have to travel for that person to be responsible for their own actions and not the bar be punished? No one has seemed to be able to answer that question. The last month has been a month of heartbreak, anger, and distraught amongst almost every customer I've spoken to, and most certainly my friends and employees in the industry that have cried to me, expressing about how they don't know how they're going to pay their bills or survive if this 11 o'clock shutdown continues. Like, how does this make the village look? I'm not afraid to walk down Madison. The question is, why are others afraid? Is it because a lot of people now at that time don't look like you? Another question is it a coincidence that every place that would be allowed to go back to normal hours after today are vast majority of people that do look like you? And every place that has the vast majority of people that look like me will be closed. This whole situation makes me ashamed to say that I even live in this town. I'm ashamed, our customers are ashamed, and the employees whose income you've taken away are ashamed as well. I just hope you all make some better decisions or come up with some type of plan. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Catherine Hebe.
Hi, my name is Catherine Hebe. I'm a resident of the Grove community, and I'm actually not talking about the bars on Madison. I'm also a member of the Concerned Van Buren Citizens Committee, which was established several years ago by the Grove Board of Directors to represent the interests of the community residents with regards to the future of the Altenheim community. I'm here along with several other members of the committee sitting over there behind us, Marilyn Jansiewicz and Ellen Golow, to address you all about that property, which of course is directly across the street from our condominiums and townhomes, approximately 200 residences owned by taxpayers in Forest Park. I'd like to emphasize that the Concerned Van Buren Citizens Committee solely represents the Grove residents, and we are not part of any other committee or any other group on this issue. First of all, our residents are very grateful that the decrepit buildings that were part of the Altenheim are coming down finally, and we in the Grove community are watching this with great interest. And as this demolition moves forward, we look forward to the next phase, which is, of course, to work with the other stakeholders on what the future uses of this large tract of land, what will happen to them? How will they best meet the needs and expectations of the village, the Altenheim residents, and the Grove community? Eventually, our community would like to share some ideas with you. We've had many conversations, of course, with Grove residents about how that tract could be best utilized. So we feel confident that working together, we can achieve an outcome that works best for the village, the Altenheim, and the Grove community. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris Buckley.
How's it going, guys? I'm really just here to reiterate what Colin said. I mean, we really need the bars to open back up. You're killing us. And it's not slowly, it's quickly. We're going down like a sinking ship, man. I mean, we need help at this point, and this 11 o'clock close is devastating to us. We've had to let off so many of our employees. We're at the point where if someone calls in sick, we're shut down for the day. We just don't have enough to keep going if we can't be open at 11, past 11. Thank you.
Anna Leseth.
Hi, my name is Anna Leseth. I'm not good speech, but I want to say something for my heart. I'm not sure if I can change the mind people here about the decision. I work in Blueberry Hill, and the bar, when it's closed right now at 11, everything gets slowed down. A lot of employees don't have job, don't make enough money. And I don't understand why the bars is punished for something what is outside. I live in Berwyn, and I don't know if you hear, almost 2 months ago, we have shooting at Winona. And one bar make big party for the gangbanger, and one boy, he's shot. And I spoke with mayor on Berwyn. He want to punish only one bar for this, not all of it, town. So if you can change your mind and open the bars at, like it's used to, this will be nice. Thank you.
April Reed.
Hi, I'm an employee of Muggsy's Tavern and have been for about 3 years, and I myself live on Madison Street. This past month has been detrimental to my finances. I'm down to a third of what I was making before. And if this continues, I will not be able to continue to pay my bills or my rent and continue to be a resident of Forest Park. My customers aren't coming in anymore, because why come in if you get off at 8 o'clock and you can only have one drink and you have to go to Berwyn or any of the surrounding towns where they are eating this up? You are giving all our money to them, and they are using it to their advantage. And at this point, we're down to 2 employees. It's me and one other girl, and she's taken a drastic hit. And our hours are cut, our money's cut, our customers are unhappy, and we're unhappy. We've given you ideas. Chris wrote down a list of ideas. We need your feedback. There's something that you guys want us to do, but unless you tell us, we can't read your minds. So at this point, if you let us know what we need to do, we'll do it. I remember when I first started bartending 3 years ago, every single night an officer walked through my bar. That let patrons know there's an officer watching. That let me have communication with that officer. I knew my beat officer every single night, and I didn't feel like I'd be penalized if I needed to call them for help. Now, I feel like I'm going to be penalized if I have to call them for help, because any issue that we have to call the police, it gives you guys more ammo to keep us closed at 11 p.m., and that's extremely unfair. We need you guys to work with us so we can work with you and the police. Thank you.
Jonathan Cannon.
Hi there, my name is Jonathan Cannon. I'm a current employee of Shortstop, a long-term customer of the taverns of Forest Park. I turned 21 at the bar that I currently work at, and I think that some people here don't understand that this town was built on these taverns. They truly were. It provides wonderful tax revenue that we're in turn able to provide services for others. I think in the recent years, it's been brought up, there has been a change in the clientele. And I know that our police chief, Tom Aftanas, has spoken about the number of citations that have recently come up. And I'd like to tell you a story. I worked Shortstop one day, and I had a gentleman who ordered a shot of tequila and a cranberry juice chaser. He took his shot of tequila. He took his cranberry juice, he drank it, and he walked out the door. He still had some of the cranberry juice in it. This is before we stopped serving in plastic cups, which almost all bars stopped doing immediately once we were being almost blamed for what's going on the streets. I walked outside, and he was getting a citation from a police officer for public drinking. I spoke to the officer after confirming with me as the bartender and deciding that, yes, he wasn't actually drinking. He decided to switch the ticket to a public, littering. That is what it was switched to. So as this is going on, there are two guys fighting across the street in the parking lot. And, you know, they happen to look like the officer. And we're mentioning this. We're trying to bring this attention to, you know, to the police officer here. And he wanted to finish writing that littering ticket first. And you know what he did when he walked over there? He said, "All right, boys, you got it out of your system. Go home now." And I almost cried in that moment. And I almost cry now. Because you've got to realize that it's easier for you to give someone a slap on the wrist when they look like you. And you've got to remember that everyone deserves a chance to enjoy these beautiful bars who have been here for so long. Whether they're black, white, yellow, red, it doesn't matter. And I really hope that you guys do something about this because I'm losing my livelihood and I don't know what to do. Thank you.
Lynn Cerise.
Hi there, my name is Lynn Cerise. I did not plan what I was going to say before I came up here because I feel like I've said it all already. I feel like you guys aren't listening at all. And I honestly have never been through anything more humiliating than this. Like, I've sent you guys emails, we have ideas, we get no feedback from you whatsoever. I mean, I poured my heart and my life into creating, like, really nice, safe spaces for people to come to, like neighborhood gathering places. Like, how are we going to live without this? I mean, whether we're okay or we're not, like, what kind of neighborhood is this going to be without places like Beacon or Circle Inn? Or, I mean, you're going to put a bunch of those places out of business. And I just don't really feel like this is fair. We're willing to do anything you want. And I'm speaking directly to you. Anything you want. But you're not telling us what you want. We came up with ideas, and you're not even telling us whether they're good or they're bad. So it's just like it's like radio silence. And I just want to say this is really painful, and like I am an honest, good person, okay? And I will do whatever it is you need. Like, I personally will make sure we do whatever it is you need. So could you please tell us what's going on? That's all I want to say. Thanks.
Ted Williams, I think it is.
Not the baseball player. I'm a new resident of Forest Park, and I've been coming here after work from Broadview for about 2.5 years. I've known Lynn and Marty since the late 2000s when they had a few establishments up in the McHenry and Fox Lake area when they first bought into that area. And I only get to come here just until recently, just after work from Broadview, because I was living in Westmont for the last few years. I grew up in the service industry, restaurants. Started bars in my mid to late 20s, bouncer, maintenance, bar back, and bartender. Rarely has, in my experience, has problems happened outside of a bar that were from inside of a bar. From what I've read from press releases and what I'm seeing on the patch and on the news, these things aren't happening from bars. They're happening from private establishments. And I think it's really short-sighted that you're cutting off these bars at 11 o'clock. You're losing that revenue right at the time when these bars who have been suffering for the last 14, 15 months are just starting to get their feet back underneath them. And the people that work in the bars, which I don't anymore, I mean, they're just starting to get their income streams back. And it's not like the PPP loans were given out to everybody. And these, you know, these people are desperate for the money. I mean, they are hurting. And I didn't lose my job. I'm in manufacturing. So I was considered an essential employee. And I have no problem spending my money. And I literally just moved last week to Forest Park. And while I've done some afternoon stuff, I never do weekend or evening stuff here because of the commute. And I'm looking forward to getting out into the restaurants and seeing out some nightlife in the area. And I just think it's really short-sighted to cut these establishments off at 11 o'clock. And it sounded like, from what I originally read, it had something to do with a shift issue. So I don't know if it was easier to shut the bars off versus working with either River Grove or your own police department in changing shifts. I mean, you have bars that are open till 1 or 2 o'clock in the evening. I would assume that you would have some kind of a police presence then. And like the other gentleman said from Shortstop about having people, beat cops in the bars. I remember this in Elgin in the mid-90s. I knew all the neighborhood police officers. I still remember having a guy giving me a fake ID. I actually called the convenience store across the street to have him come over. I didn't call the police because I knew where he was at. He came over, kicked the guy out. You know, he had a fake ID. I mean, it's pretty easy to figure out 6 inches difference in height. I think having a foot presence on Madison Street would be much better and getting in and out of the bars than just shutting down. I mean, obviously this pandemic is, everybody's starting to lash out. I get that. But I think you're lashing out at the wrong people. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Daniel Riley.
Excuse me. Evening to all. I am asking the village officials, when are you going to do something about all of the following? You have a raggedy building on Adams and Harlem that has seen better days. You have the Postal Workers Union Hall on Roosevelt and Marengo. You have the building that used to be Kelly's on Roosevelt and Marengo. All of these are eyesight that some people don't really want to see. You also have the Hideaway building, and that's the one that has rats running in and out day and night. I was talking with my neighbor a week ago Sunday, approximately 8 o'clock. At least 4 giant rats, almost as big as possums, came out. They ran across the street, they ran back, and then they just stood there. Nothing seems to be done about it because I'm seeing the same problem day in and day out. Night in and night out. Came home, was washing one of my vehicles, I think it might have been Monday morning. And again, like 7 o'clock in the morning, they're just la, 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 la. We have rats, raccoons. The raccoons, I know you can't do too much about because of the cemeteries and the river, but the rodents. The building is an eyesore. And from what I'm being told, they are so far delinquent in taxes that nothing is being done about it. That's one of the issues. The other issue, this one I have to call you all about. This is like the 5th year in a row that I've had to call you about. There's weeds that are 4 feet tall. And this is in the alley behind 1134 Circle Avenue. The branches of the weeds, every time that I have to pull through there, it's kind of like scratching up my vehicle, the clear coat on my vehicle. And the people in the village seem to not care. If need be, I can provide you with pictures that I have taken of it that's on my phone for the last 2 years. If the homeowner's not going to do anything because the homeowner says, nope, this is on the village property, it's in the alley, will you people who are in village government, will you please do something about it? Same thing with all of the telephone poles, because I live on that block. All the telephone poles. The weeds are 4 and 5 feet tall right around the telephone pole. Each time that I've called the village, they say that pole belongs to the electric companies. Each time I've called the electric companies, they say that's the village property. It's an eyesore. And I really hope that you people who are in village government take heed and do something about it. I used to be proud to tell people that I lived in Forest Park. I used to be very proud. Now I'm almost at the point of saying that I'm offended to tell people that I live in Forest Park. So please, village officials, whomever you are, anonymously or identified, will you please do something about those issues? Thank you.
Thank you. Martin Cerise.
I guess I'm going to be unscripted, too. I just realized, about a week ago, God knows, I graduated high school 50 years ago tonight. And, you know, it was really, really great. And going forward, we are going to have a 50-year graduation anniversary special, and it was going to be 3 days. And the one thing I really wanted, because you lose contact with a lot of people, people are going to be coming up from all over the country, is I wanted to show my Forest Park bars off. We were going to have a karaoke party at Angelo's. And some people were laughing, saying we're going to have walker races or whatever. God knows. But the thing is that now I'm just going to, I guess, tell them tomorrow, I can't do this. My bar is just being closed at 11 o'clock, and I don't get it. I don't think it's fair. I don't think the way the council is doing what it's doing is fair. I believe the way you're treating us is humiliating and degrading, and especially I believe the way you're treating the working people in Forest Park is humiliating and degrading. I can't do anything about this. And you know what? You guys have a right. You could close us at 9 o'clock if you want to. You could take our licenses away. You could do whatever you want. But we've tried to communicate with you. Several of us have tried to communicate with you. We've emailed you. We emailed you again today. What I want now is I just want you to tell me, do you want us in Forest Park or not? And if so, I want you to validate that we are honorable and we're wanted businesses, because if you don't want us, it's going to be very painful. Yeah, well, I'll lose a lot of money. You know, like in my kids are just going to get less. Too bad. But the thing is that, you know, I'll get over it, but, like, please tell me your intentions. We're losing money. What we can do is maybe we could buy another place and start employing some of these people close to Forest Park. We could do something. But help us. I mean, what you're doing, it just, what my lovely wife said, like the radio silence, we're not hearing from you. Several people have called several village officials, and we're not hearing back from most of you. Sit down and talk with us. We do have ideas. I mean, if there's going to be a committee, put us on it. And I mean, we know the problems. We're going to try to do whatever we can. We will do everything we can. But what I'm asking you tonight is We're legitimate business people. If you do not perceive being so, just tell us so we can go. Let my employees and everybody else's, let's find jobs someplace else. We're not going to last anyway. Most of the people that are staying, they're staying out of a sense of safety. They can't afford it. I can't afford it. I mean, I can, but it's not, you know, I can't keep subsidizing what's going on in Forest Park. It doesn't have to be like this. Council, mayor, bring us together. Make this right. Make it right. All of us down. Let's make this work, okay? Please. Thank you very much.
Matthew Cerise.
Is the microphone working yet? Yes. It's good. I'm not going to, like, like that. It's cutting out. Is there a guy here, or is that one? Okay.
It was working fine up until a minute ago.
So my speech is going to be a little bit shorter than I initially planned because a lot of the points I was trying to make were made by a lot of my colleagues that already came up here. So what I'm going to start with is that I'm a lifelong Forest Park resident, came up through our public schools, and for my entire life, other than 4 years, have lived a block south of Madison Street. So I am no stranger to the problems that occur with living in proximity to the bars. However, I've also been a bartender and manager in this town for over 10 years. What I can tell you now from personal firsthand experience is every employee that worked under me is hurting financially significantly to the point where they're asking me for extra money for advances on their paychecks, and I don't have it right now. Like, I'm not making that much money anymore, and no one else is either. So if you want to see a for sale sign in front of every bar on Madison Street, just keep closing us at 11 because I promise that's what's going to happen and no one's going to buy them. You've taken 27 hours a week away from us. That doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a huge number because the late night hours are easily our busiest most nights of the week. And then the last point I want to get to that no one's made yet is when you close at us at 11, what I'm hearing you say is that people who are in a bar after 11 are unwanted or undesirable. And I can tell you that couldn't be further from the truth. My customers include postal workers from the bulk mailing center across the street. They include nurses and other medical personnel. And traditionally, large amounts of bar and restaurant personnel from other cities. But now, those people are going to Berwyn, they're going to Brookfield, they're going to Riverside. Those towns are happy to take their money, and I don't know why we're not. So, yeah, that's basically the end of my speech. Please let us open up again, but, you know, if not, it's in your court.
Joseph Sullivan.
Hi, I'm Joe Sullivan. I own Duffy's Tavern. I was a member of the ad hoc committee that made recommendations to the village. Not one member of that committee asked that the current ordinance remain in effect. The most conservative request that was submitted was midnight for operating hours. And yet still here we are, closing at 11 p.m. How is this even possible? Was the time spent by the ad hoc committee in vain and for show? It's really hard to think that it wasn't at this point. And I hope you guys, I hope everyone on the village committee proves me wrong, and you're going to have to do it soon because we need to. Thank you.
Okay, commissioners, council, that was the end of public comments for this evening. We're going to go ahead and skip over the presentation on the Altenheim. That's a little bit premature for tonight. So we're going to move on to department reports.
And a question. This is being taken off the agenda tonight?
Okay. We're going to move on to police department report for April and May. I believe every member of the council has received the police report. I'm not sure if there's any comment or feedback there. And if not, we'll move to bills by resolution.
Be it resolved by the Council of the Village of Forest Park, Cook County, Illinois, that we dispense with the reading of the individual bills in as much as each department head has approved and signed bills in the following aggregate amount for the respective departments. Refunds and allocations, $1,890. Public Affairs, $65,670.22. Police Department, $636.25. Community Center, $4. Accounts and Finance Clerk's Office, $136,142.29. Accounts and Finance Fire Department, $39,220.15. Department of Health and Safety, $8,376.65. Street Department, $29,804.23. Public Property, $17,337.74. Seizure, $3,999.19. Federal Customs, $439.98. TIF, $219,585.20. VIP, $183.01. Water Department, $67,576.42. For a total of $590,865.33.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Commissioners, there is a motion to adopt the resolution on the bills.
I'll make that motion presented by Madam Clerk.
Thank you. It's been moved by Commissioner Novak. Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been seconded by Commissioner Burns. Discussion? If there's no discussion, Madam Clerk.
Commissioner Novak?
Aye.
Commissioner Burns?
Aye.
Commissioner Nero?
Aye.
Commissioner Vogt?
Aye.
Mayor Hoskins?
Aye.
This is Resolution R-44-21.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Commissioners, there is no unfinished business on tonight's agenda. So moving to new business, the first item is a resolution honoring Public Works Director John L. Doss upon his retirement. Is there a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you. It's been moved by Commissioner Novak. Is there a second?
Second.
There it's been go. Seconded by Commissioner Burns. Why don't we go ahead and make that a unanimous motion? Is that okay? Does anyone object?
Absolutely.
No objection? All right. Madam Clerk, would you like to read the resolution?
I would love to. A resolution honoring Public Works Director John L. Doss upon his retirement. Whereas John L. Doss is a lifelong resident of the Village of Forest Park, Cook County, Illinois, having attended Forest Park Elementary and Proviso East High Schools, and whereas John began his employment with the Village of Forest Park as a summer help employee in 1981 and became a full-time employee of the Forestry Division of the Department of Public Property on May 19, 1983. And whereas in 2007, John was promoted to the position of Assistant Director of Public Works. And whereas on July 1st, 2008, John was promoted to the position of Director of Public Works. And whereas, in addition to overseeing the day-to-day operations of the department, including snow removal, street repairs and maintenance, forestry, public property, park maintenance, emergency storm response, and the water and sewer facilities of the village, John managed 15 employees and an operating budget over $15 million. And whereas John helped negotiate fair contracts with two collective bargaining units with sound financial management to best serve the community and employees. And whereas under John's leadership, the annual electronic recycling and village-wide cleanup events were implemented beginning in 2015. And whereas under John's tenure, a long-term capital infrastructure plan was developed. As Director of Public Works, over $42 million of capital improvements were constructed, consisting of 3 miles of water main, 14 miles of roadway, and 5 miles of alley improvements. Streetscape projects included Jackson Boulevard, Harvard Street, Madison Street, Roosevelt Road, and Brown Street, as well as the installation of LED streetlights village-wide. And whereas John was always on call to be of service to the community, always present no matter the time of day to ensure that our roadways remain safe, our water supply secure, and our public property in sound working order. And whereas John's involvement in the village-wide stormwater and sewer separation study identified infrastructure needs to mitigate flooding. This study led to the creation of a revenue source that will provide funding for a variety of future projects. The Circle Avenue Sewer Separation Project, completed in 2020, was the landmark project. And whereas John collaborated with Village Council and residents to establish the First Responder Memorial at the Circle in Randolph Park as a testament to the Forest Park police officers and firefighters who lost their lives in the line of duty. And whereas John worked tirelessly to establish the Tree City USA recognition for the Village of Forest Park, highlighting his years of dedication to the trees in his hometown. And whereas John partnered with the Park District of Forest Park to transfer the upgrade and maintenance of the village-owned parks to the Park District to enhance and beautify the green space within the community. And whereas the Doss family's roots in Forest Park are deep, John's father, Gary, was a Forest Park police officer. His mother, Eloise, was the Forest Park Public Works Secretary. And his stepdad, Terry Udall, retired from the Forest Park Public Works Department after 34 years. Growing up, John spent his days at the Park District of Forest Park, where he now serves his third term as a commissioner. John has been married to his incredible wife, Karen, for 30 years. Their family has grown to include three boys, John, Ryan, Andrew, and Jack. Their family will soon expand further as John Ryan and his wife, Jacqueline, are expecting their first child. John still lives in Forest Park and continues to enjoy the town he loves by participating in many Forest Park events, most notably the 16-inch No Glove National Softball Tournament, which John's team OBI won in 2015. Those lucky enough to have John in their lives describe him as a devoted family man, a faithful friend, an enthusiastic community member, a dedicated mentor, and a natural leader. And now, therefore, be it resolved by the Mayor and Council of the Village of Forest Park, Cook County, Illinois, as follows. That the Mayor and Village Council, for its members, the officers, employees, and the people of the Village of Forest Park, extend to John L. Doss sincere gratitude for his commitment to the community over the years and congratulates John as he and his family embark upon a new chapter in life. And further wish John and his wife, Karen, and their children many years of good health, happiness, and prosperity. The Village of Forest Park is truly indebted to John for his selfless contributions made to the community. Be it further resolved that this resolution be spread in full upon the minutes of the proceedings of the council, and a suitable copy hereof be presented to John L. Doss with the heartfelt thanks of the village and sincere appreciation for his many years of service.
Madam Clerk.
Oh. We're going to call the roll call. Commissioner Novak?
Aye.
Commissioner Burns?
Aye.
Commissioner Nero?
Aye.
Commissioner Vogue?
Aye.
Mayor Hoskins?
Aye.
This is resolution R-45-21.
John, you want to come get a copy of your...
I'm going to cry, that I can tell you. I am a big softie. People that don't know me, thank you to the council, the current council. You've been outstanding. The department has, you guys are awesome to work with. Every one of you has been outstanding to me. The village residents, I can't say enough. You know, I love working here. I love living here. I'm not going anywhere. My wife and kids, thank you guys so much. A couple of the old commissioners, you know, Jerry Jacknell gave me my first job here. I'd like to thank him. Katie Murphy, you're the best. Thank you. I know Martin Talalian and Mark Hostie hired me, and Anthony Calderon, I'll never forget everything you've done for me. Tim Gillen also. So thank you. My in-laws, thank you guys so much for coming. Jacqueline and Alyssa, thank you guys.
So why don't we just take a couple minutes, if commissioners want to say something to John to kind of express your thoughts on his retirement. Want to start, Commissioner Novak?
Director Doss, congratulations. Enjoy your future. Your service, your dedication to the town is priceless. You bleed Forest Park. So congratulations to you and your family. Enjoy your leisure years.
But again, the next chapter, it's yours to write, and again, we'll always be behind you. Good luck.
Sure. Director Doss. Oh, sorry. Oh, my bad. Sorry. Oh. I got excited.
Oh, I heard a voice. John, you know, I've probably known John the longest of anybody here. I think I've known most of you people longer than anybody else has. But, you know, John, it's been a great pleasure of working with you on the police department and also on the circumstances that you're director of the public works. There wasn't a job that you were asked to do that you didn't do. You know, that's an amazing accomplishment. There was nothing ever said that, well, I don't know if I can do this or not. He'd just say, I get right on it and take care of it. And that's the way he's been ever since he's been in the village. I can tell you that he's got good support from his family, great family. And even with the park district, the things that happened over there that he's been involved in with the new remodeling and everything, it's just he's a stand-up guy, and he gets the job done. Thanks for everything, John.
Commissioner Nero, I think you want to say something.
Director Doss. Now, I don't have anything really planned, but I just really want to take a second to thank you. You know, thank you for your dedication, your commitment to not only the Village of Forest Park, but thanks for being there for me as a young commissioner coming in here and not only welcoming me to your department, introducing me to your team, and making me feel like an integral part of what we're trying to do at Public Works. So I really appreciate that. Also, thank you for your mentorship for your next of kin, Mr. Sal Stella. You know, it says a lot about you as a coach and a leader and a mentor to bring up Sal underneath you, and he's going to do a fantastic job. And so for that, thank you as well. You know, there's a lot of people don't know, but there's a lot of folks that the residents will send emails or be complaints, issues, concerns, and John, you know as well as I do, he's always right away responsive, answers his phone, answers his emails, calls me back, and he's on the spot, trimming trees, dealing with issue with garbage, with leaves, with sewer backups and cleanups, you name it, he's on it. And never once did I ever get the impression that he was put out, that it was a chore, that he was bothered. It was always with a smile on his face, yes, sir, and thank you. And for that, I appreciate it, and thank you very much. And congratulations on your retirement.
Once again, I think Ryan has summed it up better than I can. But I do want to thank you very much for very similar reasons. You and I sat down almost immediately after the election, and I know it's got to be a tricky part of the job to just have folks, you know, coming in, sometimes different folks every 4 years. And you always took the time to sit down with me. Everything I threw at you, you embraced and you ran with, and you were very supportive. And you, like Ryan said, answered every email, every text, every phone call. And you've just been such a pleasure to work with, and I really appreciate that so much, as do, I'm sure, you know, everyone that works with you in your department and the fellow department heads. So I congratulate you on your retirement. Thank you for all your hard work and years of service, and I wish you the best going forward.
So John, I want to pretty much adopt what everybody else has said. You're a great professional to work with, and I know Sal's going to be a great director as well. A couple of things that I think of when I think of you. When I was a new commissioner in 2007, I remember we had a really bad flood. The river basically closed down the Madison Street Bridge, and I know you guys worked pretty hard those next couple of days, and that led to the whole, you know, think about addressing floods and whatnot in Forest Park, and that was kind of a new chapter for the village, I think. But more recently, what sticks out in my mind is your service during the pandemic. You know, you were out there working every day. You were very deliberate about what you did. Customer service didn't suffer because we were in a pandemic. You masked up, and you explained why you masked up. And you were faithful about it. You know, you were very professional in terms of how you came into Village Hall and conducted business. Everyone has said, you know, great things about your public service. One of the funny things that sticks in my mind is we had a lady who called Village Hall and left a really nasty message about you last winter and about your entire crew. And you were very good-natured about it. You know, you kept doing what you had to do. But if you want a way to really anger Village employees, all you had to do was play a tape of that person's message, basically, you know, cussing out the Public Works Department. And that did elicit some responses. But, you know, in October, we had some water issues. I called you, I think, at 9:30. You were right there. Sal was pretty much right behind you because it was in his wheelhouse. So, again, the professionalism, the regard that people have for you. And I'll say one other thing. Almost a year ago, a little bit over a year ago, when we were looking at possible unrest and potential looting coming into the village, you guys were right out there with the trucks, and you blocked off the entrances to the mall, into Walmart. You know, you guys were on the spot. That's the entire Public Works Department, but it started with the leadership. So everyone has a lot of warm memories of you, and we thank you for your service to Forest Park. Okay. Okay, commissioners, the next item on tonight's agenda is a resolution approving and authorizing the execution of an intergovernmental master agreement between the village and IDOT for the maintenance and obligations and cost allocations of traffic control devices. Is there a motion?
Nero, make that motion.
Thank you. It's been moved by Commissioner Nero. Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been seconded by Commissioner Vogt. Discussion? If there is no discussion, Madam Clerk.
Commissioner Novak.
Aye.
Commissioner Burns.
Aye.
Commissioner Nero.
Aye.
Commissioner Vogt.
Aye.
Mayor Hoskins.
Aye.
This is resolution R-46-21.
Okay. Commissioners, the next item is an ordinance imposing a temporary moratorium until September 6th of 2021 on the acceptance and processing of applications and the issuances of amusement licenses to holders of Class A1 liquor licenses pursuant to Title 3, Chapter 3, Section 3-3-12 of the Village Code. Is there a motion?
Yeah, Nero will make that motion.
Thank you. It's been moved by Commissioner Nero. Is there a second? If there's not a second, the motion will die for a lack of a second. Okay, we're going to move on. Commissioners, the next item is an ordinance amending Section 3-3-6 entitled License Fee and Number of Chapter 3, entitled Liquor Control of Title 3, entitled Business License and Regulations of the Village. Is there a motion?
Yeah, Nero will make that motion.
Thank you. It's been moved by Commissioner Nero. Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been seconded by Commissioner Vogt. Commissioners, basically what this is an ordinance that would have immediate effect, such that any time a license holder, a liquor license holder, either does not renew the license or surrenders that license, or the license otherwise ceases to be valid and effective, the ordinance that controls how many licenses the village has to issue would automatically correspond to that decrease in number. So in other words, if a license holder decides not to renew, a future liquor commissioner, including the present liquor commissioner, would not simply have the authority to reissue a new license. And any subsequent application would come to the council for full approval. That's all I have. Is there any further discussion on this item?
I guess some discussion. This is now on the village. We're extending this to the council versus just the liquor commission, because common practice historically used to be to lower and raise ordinances. So this wasn't an ordinance before, or?
So correct. Generally, the council would adjust the ordinance that sets the number of licenses, class A, class A1, class et cetera, class et cetera. Now, if the liquor commissioner or the mayor did not bring up an ordinance to revise
up or down
that list, then that license would still sit out there, and there would be the ability to issue that license, pursuant to a successful application in the process. So what this ordinance does is it removes that authority. And so if someone doesn't renew that license goes away. And then in order for the new license to be issued, or a new license to be issued, the whole council would have to weigh in on that.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions? Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Novak?
Aye.
Commissioner Burns?
Aye.
Commissioner Nero?
Aye.
Commissioner Vogue?
Aye.
Mayor Hoskins?
Aye.
This is Ordinance O-11-21.
Okay, Commissioners, the next item is an ordinance authorizing the sale and disposition of surplus property of the village. Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion.
It's been moved by Commissioner Vogue. Is there a second?
Nero, second.
It's been seconded by Commissioner Nero. Discussion? There's no discussion. Madam Clerk.
Commissioner Novak.
Aye.
Commissioner Burns.
Aye.
Commissioner Nero.
Aye.
Commissioner Vogue.
Aye.
Mayor Hoskins.
Aye.
This is Ordinance O-12-21.
Commissioners, the next item is a resolution regarding the pay request number 1 to T-Corp, Inc. for the rehabilitation of the 500,000-gallon water tank at 1580 South Hannah, the South Water Tank. Is there a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you. It's been moved by Commissioner Vogt. Is there a second?
Nero, second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion? If there's no discussion, Madam Clerk.
Commissioner Novak?
Aye.
Commissioner Burns?
Aye.
Commissioner Nero?
Aye.
Commissioner Vogt?
Aye.
Mayor Hoskins?
Aye.
This is Resolution R-47-21.
Commissioners, the next item is a resolution regarding a pay request number 4 to Genco for the Hannah Pump Station Emergency Generator Improvement Project with the village. Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you. It's been moved by Commissioner Vogue. Is there a second?
Nero will second.
Been seconded by Commissioner Nero. Discussion? There's no discussion. Madam Clerk.
Commissioner Novak?
Aye.
Commissioner Burns?
Aye.
Commissioner Nero?
Aye.
Commissioner Vogue?
Aye.
Mayor Hoskins?
Aye.
This is Resolution R-48-21.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Commissioners, the next item is a motion to direct the Forest Park Board of Fire and Police Commissioners to appoint 1 candidate from the current firefighter eligibility list to fill a vacancy. Is there a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you. It's been moved by Commissioner Novak. Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been seconded by Commissioner Burns. Discussion? There's no discussion. Madam Clerk.
Commissioner Novak?
Aye.
Commissioner Burns?
Aye.
Commissioner Nero?
Aye.
Commissioner Vogue?
Aye.
Mayor Hoskins?
Aye. Okay. Commissioners, the next item is a motion to approve the Forest Park Chamber's request to host an annual sidewalk sale on Madison Street from July 23rd through July 25th. Is there a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you. It's been moved by Commissioner Burns. Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been seconded by Commissioner Vogue. Discussion? There's no discussion. Madam Clerk.
Commissioner Novak?
Aye.
Commissioner Burns?
Aye.
Commissioner Nero?
Aye.
Commissioner Vogue?
Aye.
Mayor Hoskins?
Aye. Okay, commissioners, the last item under new business for this evening is a motion to approve the Historical Society of Forest Park. They have a request to hang a banner for the annual garden walk in the village for July 17th, 2021. Is there a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you. It's been moved by Commissioner Vogue. Is there a second? It's been seconded by Commissioner Nero. Discussion?
I guess I don't want to sound, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
I'm going to sound like Commissioner Mannix here because they always talk about banners here, and I don't want to do that. So with this, do we only approve this when it's outside of Forest Park, or does every single banner that goes up on Madison Street get approved by us? I guess is my question. Is this just outside groups, or if Forest Park itself is promoting stuff, is that when it comes before us? And just for the sake of time and the motions, do we really need to do this day in and day out? If some go up, some go down, we approve some, we don't approve others, is my question.
I think for clarity purposes and for purposes of just public facing and transparency, these come before you. This is, of course, a local group. You're welcome to vote no or yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know the Historical Society, but it doesn't take too much time on our agenda. But we have it up here so you can weigh in.
And we
could get to a future case, Commissioner, where some group that there was concern about, wanted to hang a banner. So anyway, we publicly vote on these.
I'm just talking consistency. Do we vote for every banner that goes up on Madison Street? Is my point, and I don't think we do.
Well, I think we do.
I think
we have to, because that means that anybody can hang a banner wherever they want without permission.
I think our practice recently has been to bring every banner before you.
I thank you.
Is there any further discussion on this Historical Society banner request?
This event in particular is a favorite of mine, so read the banner when it goes up.
Madam Clerk.
Commissioner Novak?
Aye.
Commissioner Burns?
Aye.
Commissioner Nero?
Aye.
Commissioner Vogue?
Aye.
Mayor Hoskins?
Aye. Okay, we're at the administrator's report. Okay, you have nothing tonight, Moses. All right, Commissioner's report. Commissioner Novak.
Congratulations, Director Doss. Best of luck to you. And again, thank you for your service. That's all I have.
Commissioner Burns.
Well, I'll second what Dan just said, and that's my report.
Commissioner Novak. I'm sorry, Commissioner Commissioner Nero, all these N's. Commissioner Vogt.
I wanted to thank Administrator Amade for the inclusion of his agenda memos within the packet. I found them very helpful. And then I also just wanted to say, unfortunately, outside of our control, it's unfortunate that we didn't get to hear Mr. DeFebo's presentation, but I'm hopeful that we'll be able to invite him back soon, or additionally, now with the demolition going so well and things are moving forward, and COVID is becoming a little bit more manageable. I'm kind of hopeful that we might have a town hall in the near future. So I'll keep you, of course, you know, up to date and posted on any of that stuff as it develops.
All right, commissioners. The Altenheim is certainly, center of attention these days. They're making great progress on bringing down those buildings. And we have received, contacts from different interested parties who want to begin talking to the village about what could potentially go there. That includes concerned citizens at Van Buren. I've got emails, and we plan to meet with these groups. We do want to circle back with the Altenheim itself as an entity to kind of get a sense for what they want. They have the most at stake in terms of a future development there. So that's one thing. Secondly, to all the people who spoke during public comment, we hear you. We do. The measure that we took in May was not intended to be punitive. It was intended to protect the street. That night, our police department reported data. Some of it was purely quantitative. There was also very powerful anecdotal data that was designed to give a sense of what our police department was dealing with. Every weekend we were having some situations that required assists from other departments. And it simply was not and is not a good look for Madison Street. So for the businesses who are being impacted, I do feel for you. I know there are license holders who are off Madison Street who are doing the right thing. But because we have to enforce these regulations uniformly, these license holders are impacted. In the time that we have imposed the 11 o'clock closures, the street is incredibly calm. When you drive down on a Sunday morning, there's not nearly as much trash in the flowers by places like Forest Park National Bank. And you just see a different feel to the street. So we want to get to a place of resolution. Now, in terms of solutions, if we have good solutions, people know how to contact the police chief. And the police chief is not at all shy about bringing solutions to either the mayor or to the village administrator and to the entire council when it makes sense to do that. And we're just not there yet. The ordinance that was not taken up tonight under new business that would have imposed a temporary moratorium on applications for amusements was intended to help us get control of where we are. So we haven't been uniformly accepting applications for amusements, and that kind of got away from us. And so what we've done is we've asked our law firm.
Point of order.
I'm talking, and I'm the mayor. This is my commissioner. This is my commissioner's report, Commissioner Burns. You had your chance. We've asked our law firm to draw up a model ordinance for us that could effectively regulate amusements. We have a code section within the liquor code. I'd say at the most it's about 140 words. It was adopted in the 1980s. We had a pretty thorough meeting with two attorneys, with the police chief, with myself, and with the village administrator recently. And as a result of that meeting, we gave them a directive to update our ordinance on amusements. And what this measure would have done is it would have simply put on hold issue of amusements license until we have an effective ordinance to regulate those. So this may come before you again, or it may not. But I wanted to take a minute so that everyone would better understand what we were trying to do this evening. And so with that, I'll conclude my commissioner report, and the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. It's been moved by Commissioner Nero. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. It's been seconded by Commissioner Burns. Madam Clerk?
Commissioner Novak?
Aye.
Commissioner Burns?
Aye.
Commissioner Nero?
Aye.
Commissioner Vogt?
Aye.
Mayor Hoskins?
Aye. We stand adjourned.